And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, and that little hiccup that you heard was a musical interlude. We'll get back to that in just a minute, but every show has a theme, as you know. Today's theme is That's Incredible. My first guest told us of the harmful effects of electromagnetic fields, or EMFs, and how to reduce or eliminate them. My next guest influenced your life. He certainly influenced mine, although I didn't know it at the time. He's responsible for setting the moods of the 1970s and the 1980s. He's a composer who wrote the music for such famous melodies as the Love Boat theme, Monday Night Football, Killing Me Softly with his song, and I Got a Name. I invite you to join in the conversation. You can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008. Americans have been inviting Emmy and Grammy-winning composer Charles Fox into their home for years via the television sets. He's created many of the greatest theme songs in TV history, including, listen to this, Happy Days, Wonder Woman, The Love Boat, Love American Style, as well as the theme for Monday Night Football and The Wide World of Sports. Now that's range. Charles Fox is the only artist to have had three TV songs in the top 40, and that's an amazing thing. The Smithsonian Institute has requested his copy of Happy Days record that was used in the opening scene of the TV series. They want to induct it into an archive for the Entertainment History Exhibit. And as many of you know, Tom Bosley, who was the father in Happy Days, just recently passed away. Charles's latest book is titled Killing Me Softly, My Life is Music, with My Life in Music, and it has a foreword by Roberta Flack. Welcome to the show, Charles. How are you today?
Oh, great, thanks. Thanks for a nice introduction, Bill.
Oh, well, thank you for all the music and everything that you've done for us over the years. As I said at the beginning, I didn't know it, but you did have a profound influence on my life. So, first of all, I want to go back to the beginning with you and go back to when you were growing up. When did you first fall in love with music?
I started taking piano lessons, I guess, when I was about 9 years old. And I remember coming home from school that I would run home from school because I was anxious to practice piano.
Wow.
Which it was kind of different than most of my friends who, you know, had to play the piano. And but I, you know, those days, of course, I couldn't hear the music as I looked at it, so my fingers would have to find the notes, and I just know that I loved doing it. I loved hearing the sounds I could make, and I couldn't, you know, believe that I could play that, and it was really a great feeling. Well, one thing led to another, and then I ended up going to the High School of Music and Art, which was in music, and it was an arts-oriented school, and that opened me up to a whole world of other kinds of music, you know. There were jazz musicians who came from different boroughs in New York, and it really just opened up my whole thinking about music. And that was kind of the beginning for me.
Ah, now, who were some of your early influences in music? I mean, were you influenced by Cole Porter, Ira Gershwin? I mean, who was it that really set your tone for music?
Well, this might sound unusual to you, but first of all, I was very interested in jazz when I was young, when I was like 14, 15, 16. So I loved Dave Brubeck. I studied piano with Lenny Tristano, one of the great jazz pianists. And then I also, at a very early age, got into Latin music, although it's nowhere in my background. It started very, very young, and I got into the music of Tito Puente and Tito Rodriguez. And actually, my earliest songs were in Spanish that I wrote with Spanish lyricists, and that was kind of the beginning of it for me professionally.
Hmm, very interesting. Now, I have to ask you, were you influenced at all by Phil Spector and that whole wall of sound? Because some of the theme songs that you did in the 1970s have that overlapping rich melody plus the vocals and the background vocals and everything else. So was Phil Spector in influences at all?
Really, not at all. My earliest influences, other than I just mentioned jazz and Latin music, was classical music. I used to go to the opera a couple times a week to watch the orchestra and learn orchestration. And I used to stand actually right behind the string bass players at the Metropolitan Opera. For $2, you could stand and watch the opera.
Wow.
And I really didn't get into rock and roll music until after I had... Well, I when I was 18 years old, I went to Paris, and I studied with extraordinary teacher Nadia Boulanger, who was Aaron Copland's teacher 40 years before me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with her for 2 years in Paris. When I came back, I got married, had a child, and of course I had to earn a living. So that's when I kind of got into pop music, so I could start to learn to do arranging and all that. But then in my earliest years, it really I didn't gravitate to that naturally.
I see. All right. Well, now tell us about studying with Nadia Boulanger, because she was Aaron Copland's mentor and helped him along. What did she do for you, and how did she help you in your career?
Well, I was 18 years old when I came there. I came to Fontainebleau. It was the Palace of Fontainebleau. And mm-hmm. It was a conservatory just for the summer. And I went there just for the summer, and she kind of took me under her wing. And I knew from my very first day when I had my first lesson with her, I'd composed music and compositions, but I knew from my very first lesson with her that I wanted to spend my life composing music.
Ah.
And she was able to give me that sense of the depth of music and the profundity of music and the tools that I always say that lasts a lifetime, that she gave me a whole life in music. And actually, I outlined a lot of that in my book that you mentioned, a lot of the letters that I wrote home when I was a student in Paris, discovering life and discovering music and all that.
What an eye-opening time. We're talking to Charles Fox, everybody. The book that he referred to is his book, Killing Me Softly, My Life in Music, with a foreword by Roberta Flack. Now, it's interesting to me, Charles, when I look at it, you began your odyssey in music, or at least in professional music. You were arranging for Skitch Henderson and the Tonight Show Orchestra. Then you started writing theme songs for Goodson Todman, which, you know, they were the game show people, The Match Game, What's My Line, To Tell the Truth, that kind of stuff. How did you settle on TV themes to make your living? Why not commercials? Why not Broadway? Why not the opera?
Well, first of all, I just went kind of where the jobs went, you know. and I did do a lot of commercials. I did arranging. I wrote commercials. I did a lot of pop, rock and roll arrangements once I get into it. And then I also did a lot of short films for the ISA, documentary films. And really, I was trying to earn a living in music, and I went where the work was. But at the same time, I always had my eye focused on composition, more than songwriting at that point.
Mm.
I would write songs now and then. As I mentioned, I wrote a lot of songs in Spanish. My first album was all in Spanish, and I got to write for some of those great bands. But I always knew that I would want to find my way back to longer-form composition, you know. And anyway, through all that, I got to do my first film, which was called The Incident,
mm-hmm.
with director Larry Pierce. And then the next one was a film called Barbarella, which I did in New York. And Bob Crewe, the great songwriter and producer of the Four Seasons records, whose music is now a representative of the Jersey Boys on Broadway, he brought me in to work with him on Barbarella, and we wrote about five or six songs together. So that was kind of the beginning of my songwriting career, too.
Interesting stuff. We're talking to Charles Fox, everybody. Charles, you mentioned that you did some commercials, and what I think of you, I actually kind of equate you with Barry Manilow, who got his start writing commercials or jingles for McDonald's, for Band-Aids, et cetera, that are very memorable. Are there any commercials that I might remember from my childhood that you wrote?
No, I really didn't. I'll tell you what. On the East Coast, there was a clothing company called Robert Hall. And
yeah.
I must have, and they had a few popular ditties that I did not write, but I arranged them, and I must have arranged them 100 different ways for different seasons and things like that. But no, none of the things that I did. Actually.
Okay. Well, I thought we'd try there anyway. Make the connection with Barry Manilow, because, like you, he really did shape the music and the whole culture, really, or in the 1970s and the
1980s. Well, you know, Paul Williams too, with Only Just Begun.
Yes, very good point.
Commercial too, but. No, actually, my first success as a songwriter was Killing Me Softly.
Which is a great way to start out. I mean, that's starting right at the top.
It was, I had no idea what it felt to write a hit song.
Mm.
Norman Gimbel and I wrote that for a young artist named Lori Lieberman.
Yes.
And the Capitol program that got that record programmed on an airline, on American Airlines. And in those days, before MP3s and CDs and Walkman and all those things, that people come on the airplanes for their own music, if you wanted to listen to music on the air, you were pretty well listening to what they programmed for you.
Yeah, you had those funky little headsets. And we have a clip of Killing Me Softly, so let's play that right now.
Drumming my bay with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song.
That, of course, is Roberta Flack singing Killing Me Softly with his song. And that wall of sound that I talked about, you could hear it right there where the background vocals and the reverb came in and sort of gave it that flood, a wave of sound that just came over you. Now, Charles Fox, we're talking, and you mentioned you wrote that with Norman Gimbel.
Yeah.
Very successful right out of the gate. You've also worked with Hal David. You've worked with a number of lyricists and artists. And I'm going to put you on the spot. Who was the most fun to work with? And what did they bring to the party when you collaborated with them?
Most fun. You know, music writing is fun. Writing songs is fun. If you can't have fun writing songs, you better be doing something else. So I have to say that everyone I've worked with has been fun to work with. And, you know, you're making music. Someone comes up with an idea, a title, a musical idea that we throw back and forth. It's all part of collaboration. And I've been very fortunate to work with some of the great lyricists in the last 50 years.
Yes, so, you have. Name just a few of them, because it's an incredible list.
Well, Norman Gimbel, for one, Paul Williams, Hal David. I wrote a song recently with Marilyn Allen Bergman. I work with Carly Simon, Bob Crew, Sammy Kahn, and I did songs for a film. Quite a few.
Yeah, it's amazing. Charles Fox, everybody, his latest book is Killing Me Softly, My Life in Music. Now I am going to continue to put you on the spot, Charles, if I can.
Sure.
If you had to pick the top five songs or themes that you wrote, what would they be and why?
Well, you know, the most popular themes of all are The Happy Days and Love Boat and Laverne and Shirley, Make Our Dreams Come True, because those are still on the air right now. Love American Style too. That was the show that brought me out to Hollywood. I moved out to Hollywood, so I have very nice feelings about that. And oddly enough, the one I perform from time to time that seems to get a rousing reaction is Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, and why is that?
I don't know. It's just something about it. When people hear that, they sort of react to it. But I mean, I've written themes, for example, Norman Gimbel and I wrote a song for the television show called The Paper Chase. It was a John Houseman series, and we were nominated for an Emmy for it, but the show only lasted for 1 year.
Right.
And it went up there, but Seals and Crofts sang that song for us. There's another show called Angie that was one of the spinoffs also, that we had a big hit record with Marie McGovern. In truth, it's hard to, you know, to have favorites. I know each one kind of has a special place for me in my life. For example, Wide World of Sports was the first theme I ever wrote for television, and it was 1965. I was 25 years old.
Wow!
And when we did that show, no one had any idea that it would have the longevity that it did have. And I went to London to record it with a big orchestra, so it was all a pretty exciting time for me. And then a couple of years later, ABC decided to try doing football on Monday nights. And they had no idea that women would allow that to happen, leave their husbands for Monday night, you know. Of course, over the years, women have joined them and they watch
sure.
the show as well. But so we did that. I think that was 1967.
Well, and that just shows the great range that you have, Charles. I mean, you go from Monday Night Football theme to Wonder Woman to I've Got a Name for Jim Croce, that song that really made him famous in the 1970s. That is an incredible range. So what are some of the, you know, you mentioned some of your influences growing up, but where do you get your inspiration? I mean, where do you go to write the theme for Monday Night Football?
You know, I just simply get up in the morning and I go to my desk. It's just that simple. If I were to wait for the muse to strike me, to hit me, to write something, I probably would never write again.
So it's 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration.
It just comes from getting to work.
You know? We've got that Monday Night Football theme, which I love. I've Got a Name. Excuse me. I Got a Name. I'd like to play that for our listeners, too.
Right.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name. I've got a name.
That is the late Jim Croce singing I Got a Name. And you've got an amusing little anecdote in the book, Killing Me Softly, My Life in Music, about when you first presented that song to Jim Croce. Tell us about that time.
We Norman Gimbel and I wrote that song for a picture called The Last American Hero. And we were up against a gun because the singer who was originally going to sing it backed out at the last minute. And we had to find a singer real quickly, otherwise we're going to end up without a name value and a released record. So Jim Croce had his first record out called Operator, and he was coming up the charts, and he he wasn't, well, he was just coming up the charts. He wasn't that well known yet. But we heard that, and we thought that his voice was the perfect match for the song and for the character that Jeff Bridges played on this screen. He played kind of a freewheeling race car driver. And we thought there was a very good match between him and the character and our song. But there was no time to really send the record to him and hopefully wait for a response. We just called him on the phone. And he listened to the record over the phone and said he'll do it. He'll record it, which is, you know, unheard of today. You'd never get anyone to commit to doing a record over the phone.
Well, you'd never get anybody on your first call.
You wouldn't get them on the phone.
That's exactly it. We're talking to Charles Fox, everybody. He's written a great book, Killing Me Softly, My Life in Music. And, Charles, I ask many authors this question. What did you get out of writing the book?
Well, first of all, I didn't begin to think that I should write a book of my life story. What happened was one day, shortly, a couple of years before my mother passed away, living in the same apartment house that I grew up in the Bronx, my wife, Joan, and I were in the apartment looking for things to bring back to her that were significant in her memories. And in a dresser drawer, I found a shoebox that was covered, hidden probably for many years. And in the shoebox were all these letters that I wrote home when I was living in Paris, as I mentioned before.
Yes.
And I wrote voluminously, and I kept in touch with my family. I couldn't afford to make a phone call. And I wrote long descriptive letters of my life in Paris. Well, that was kind of the vehicle. It was the, sort of the portal that led me to start thinking about my past. And there was a literary agent that heard about that, about these letters, and called me one day and said, "Hi, I'm such and such agency, I'd like to read those letters." And I said, "Well, that's kind of personal. Why would you want to read my letters?" And he said, "Well, this sounds so interesting." By the way, his name is Bob Rosen. Mm. And he said, "It's evocative of a period of a time of your teacher." So anyway, I ended up sending him the letters, and he, a copy of the letters, of course, and he called me back in a few days or a week or so and said, "You know, I think there's a book here that people will really want to know about because it speaks of a kind of a growing up. It's sort of the beginning of a young artist living alone in Paris with his fantastic teacher." He said, "But if you fill it out with the rest of your life story, what happened since you came back from Paris, and give me a little bit of what happened before." And he said, "Just give me an outline." And he said, "I can take it to a publisher and get it published." I said, "You know, I don't know anything about writing outlines for books, but I'll write the book." So I simply wrote it, and it was a nice feeling looking back. And of course, there's so many things to think about, but they don't all make interesting stories, and they don't all have sort of in the timeline of my life and all that. So it was quite a challenge. It took me 2 years to write it, and wrote it in longhand, and my assistant put it in the computer where then I made changes. It was very nice to look back and to single out moments in my life. And it's interesting how the flood of feelings come back to you, too, and the flood of memories come back when you start to do something. So it's been a very nice experience.
Well, it's a wonderful book, Charles Fox, Killing Me Softly, My Life in Music. It is all about your life, the success that you've had, the influences that you've had. Thank you so much for writing it, and thank you for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.
It's my pleasure to be here. And I'll just let you know also there's a website for the book called killingmesoftly.com.
killingmesoftly.com, and you can get more information there as well.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Thank you, Charles. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you down the road.